This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
What year did Mothra first appear in cinema?
1968.
I'm going to go with 1966.
1961,
ooh.
Mothra appeared in Mothra, her own movie.
Origins.
She did all of her own stunts.
Really? Wow. I thought so.
Tom Cruise who?
Just see Mothra randomly.
Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire is the fifth film in the current MonsterVerse at Warner Brothers and Legendary Pictures. Does this film live up to the hype and the expectations from the previous four Godzilla and Kong films? Let's find out on this episode of Raiders of the Lost Podcast.
What's up, movie friends? Welcome back to another episode of the Ultimate Film and TV Podcast, and we're going to break down Godzilla X Kong: The New Empire
with our friend Marquez Sharp from Wade Willie TV. What's up, pal?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing great.
Happy to have you here.
We met you at a very early screening for Godzilla X Kong at IMAX headquarters. Shout out to IMAX. Thanks for the invite.
Ooh, we basically live there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And we were like, let's collab.
Because yes.
You are basically like an expert on the MonsterVerse, it seems like.
Mostly, yeah. I would say so, yeah.
Yeah. And so
He's well-versed.
Yes, yeah. I don't want to say expert yet, but I'm well-versed.
But you make a lot of content based on the MonsterVerse, on Godzilla, on King Kong. Have you always loved these characters your whole life?
Dude, ever since, I would have to say, like, I think the first movie that I saw, obviously, was the 1976 Jeff Bridges King Kong. And then the second one I saw was actually the 1933 King Kong. And then I saw the King Kong animated movie. And then I saw 2005 Peter Jackson, and then so on and so forth. And the first Godzilla movie that I saw was Godzilla vs. Destoroyah.
Okay.
So I've always been a fan of King Kong and Godzilla, and I actually like Godzilla 1998. I know a lot of people don't like it.
Roderick, honestly, we saw that in the theaters. I really love that movie.
You like it, right?
I remember as a kid, I would draw that Godzilla all the time. I'll be in school drawing that particular Godzilla.
Yes.
I was obsessed.
Do you think it was too much like a dinosaur movie, though, that one?
Well, that's what they were trying to make.
Yeah, no.
They were trying to make like the new Jurassic Park.
Yeah, kind of so-so. I would feel like Godzilla 1998 was more of like a huge dinosaur movie, I guess, because it didn't really feel like Godzilla because he didn't have his atomic breath.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't as big. He was hunched over, looking like an iguana type thing. You know, but it looked cool, though.
They made him sleek and sexy. He was fit. He was fit.
Yeah,
sexy
he was
Godzilla.
All sexy. Why are you sexy for? Why are you all
fuck
slim?
Boy Godzilla. He had the cross earring.
Yeah, he had the cross
diamond
earring.
Diamond tear tattoo.
Yeah, the hair's just going over like that.
They actually stole the crow stole his look, basically.
Yeah,
the crow,
yeah.
The new crow.
He's the crow. Like, nah, Godzilla, like...
No, but these are characters that have been around for so long. It's the 38th Godzilla film. It's the 13th King Kong film. If you had to pick a character, though, guys, who's your favorite of the two?
You already know that I'm the biggest Kong fan on planet Earth.
All right.
Yeah, I love Kong. I don't know, something about... And I love Godzilla, too, because a lot of people think that when I say I love Kong, they're like, then you must hate Godzilla. So
that's
like, it's actually possible to like both. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You mean there's such thing as nuance in the world?
Right, exactly. What, you can like Kong and Godzilla? It's possible. It is possible. But for me personally, it's going to be Kong. What about you guys?
I think I like Godzilla more. I like them all a lot. Obviously, Kong, you get more of the human element because it's an ape and you can kind of get the humanity through the expressions and everything. Very similar to like especially the Planet of the Apes movies. But I think that we have so many apes movies lately that I lean towards Godzilla now lately.
Yeah.
I think I would prefer Kong. I actually really like the Peter Jackson King Kong that he made in 2005.
Yes.
And then the original film is just like such a big moment in cinema history, especially in the monster movie history. And so I think King Kong... I think his character development, especially in this film in particular, was my favorite part of the movie. And I'm just going to say, I would have loved to watch just a King Kong movie with just Kong just on his own in the inner earth, just like doing
Hollow
an adventure.
Earth,
Hollow
Anthony,
Earth.
Yeah.
Come on. not an expert.
You're like, hold on.
Hollow Earth and just like doing an adventure without any dialogue.
And no humans?
No humans.
Really?
That would have been, imagine, that would have been sick. Although they would never green light that for a $200 million movie.
Yeah.
But I was actually very invested in Kong's story in this film in particular.
I guess it's possible to do that because there are a good amount of screen time of him by himself in Hollow Earth in this film. And a lot of the movie
has minimal dialogue, especially because Gia can't speak and she's deaf, so she speaks through sign language, and so do the Iwi people speak through telepathy, which you find on this film. So you could do it. I think it would work out really well, but maybe it'd be tough to do like a two-hour movie like that. It'd have to be a tight 90 minutes.
No, they could do 2 hours.
I don't know.
You just have a couple of big fights and that's all, man. And then a big finale.
Yeah.
Because my favorite part of this film was the Kong storyline with the Scar King. And then the ancient Godzilla, whatever. I'm sorry,
Shimo.
Yeah.
Jesus, this guy.
I heard it. No, no.
This is who I work with every day.
Oh my god,
Shimo. I love that storyline. And then once Scar King showed up, I was like, this movie's getting pretty good. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
I enjoyed it.
I love Planet of the Apes.
So there's five. Where do you guys rank this? Is it like your favorite in the fifth of all five, or? How do you feel in terms of in relation to the others?
I gotta say, I've never been the biggest fan of this new franchise. Mm. And the last one was actually my least favorite. Kong Skull Island was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, honestly, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, might be my favorite of the new franchise.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. I had a really good time with it. I love Dan Stevens. So getting him in this was a lot of fun. We're huge fans of The Guest, Adam Wingard, the director of this film, one of his early horror films. And so I think this movie... I walked into it, turned my brain off. I was like, it's just a bunch of monsters fist fighting. Mm-hmm. Let's not take it seriously. I actually had a pretty good time in it, a banging soundtrack. It was a lot of fun, very colorful. It was interesting, and I just had a pretty enjoyable experience when I was at the IMAX theater.
I think that's the best way to experience an IMAX. But I will say now, like, I like the movie. I love the movie. I still have to watch it like two more times to get my like direct what I think about it, or like just get a final opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, I know people aren't going to like this movie. I know it because Godzilla Minus One just came out.
Yeah.
And people are going to be like, oh, dude, why is Kong, like, ripping this wart dog apart? And why does he have, like, the Infinity Gauntlet? I don't understand. And it's because they're looking at it through, like, a serious lens. Like, and it makes sense, right? Like, a good Godzilla, just a really great Godzilla movie just came out. And Adam Wingard knew what he was doing with this movie. It's a fun blockbuster type movie. It's like, it's nothing that you're supposed to go in too serious. It's something just to have fun, you know? And I feel like a lot of people aren't going to see that. And they're going to be like, well, this series has gotten too goofy, which I don't necessarily agree with. Like, I know that it did get goofy. I know that there's like a realistic take. And then there's like the more like fun, I don't know, fantastic side of it, where there's like a lot of cool things happening all the time. But I personally think that the movie's good, and I know what they were going for. I like it. I'm excited for the future of the MonsterVerse. And yeah, I think I'll like it. I know there's going to be a lot of people who are going to complain about it, be like, this is not serious. I don't like how not serious it is. But I like it.
Honestly, I liked it better. The last film was too serious.
Godzilla versus Kong?
Yeah.
Really?
Or maybe the one before that.
That was the one I felt like that they're just going for like a very Stranger Things aesthetic and vibe.
Because they
got
Millie.
A lot of fun. And, yeah, I mean, the aesthetic as well. There's lots of neon bright lights and purples and reds. So I feel like they were, obviously with Millie Bobby Brown coming in. But I think that was them trying to have fun, because I would say my favorite's probably Kong Skull Island, because that's basically Apocalypse Now with King Kong in it, which is super fun.
And John C. Reilly's in it.
Yeah, John C. Reilly's in it. So that one's maybe the funniest one, but I think that's probably the most entertaining and fun for me. I like the original Godzilla from, well, in 2014 of this verse.
Mm. Edwards made that?
Gareth Edwards made that one. I thought it was really solid. Didn't love the third act really, but I think Kong Skull Island is my favorite one. The one the thing with Godzilla versus Kong, I just don't love. There's too many twists, too many mystery boxes. If you think about it, with the doctors and the eco terrorists, like, oh, I'm an eco terrorist too, just out of nowhere. Billy Bobby Brown's mom. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit much with the. And again, we have the child of dead parents from a Godzilla massacre. So it's like always the same kind of thing. If that makes sense, but. I really enjoyed this one. It's probably my second favorite behind Kong Skull Island.
Something I like more than the last film, I think there was just too many human characters in the last film. It was too much of an ensemble, and there were two big storylines, and I just felt like it was losing itself from what the intentions of the film should have been. In this film, this is a very small cast.
Yeah.
Really only a handful of lead actors in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny, and then a lot more focus was given to Kong and his storyline, so I thought that was a much better, a bigger improvement on the last film. Last film, there was just too much going on, and the intersecting storylines happening at the same time.
It was just a little too much, and the kids annoyed me. I didn't like how the kid saved the day by just spilling water on the keyboard. Yeah, I was like, what the heck? This is it? Like,
because Mechagodzilla is a badass, but then, yeah, just a little bit of liquor.
On the, not even on Mechagodzilla, just on, like, the mainframe computer, like, that kill.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. I was like, come on, this is how you guys solve the third act problem. So
yeah.
I think that it just got a little too complicated and too convoluted, and they just came up with a couple of cheating ways to solve the conflicts in that film.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this one, I think it was just much more straightforward, much simpler, and I had a lot more fun than I did last time.
In this movie, you had more fun than Godzilla vs. Kong?
Yeah.
You know, I can't tell. I mean, okay, I like this movie because I think Kong gets a lot more respect. GXK. I like GXK because Kong does get a lot more, like, I don't know, wins in this one than he does, like, usually, or in Godzilla versus Kong. Because in Godzilla versus Kong, man was getting, like, tossed, bro. Like, man was getting, like, folded like a lawn chair every moment that, like, and I was like, oh, man, like, on the boat. But then again, on the boat, he was sedated. So I just had that reason in my mind. I'm like, okay, listen, he got clapped. It's okay. But on the boat, it's fine because he was sedated. He was also chained up in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. That's like Godzilla's territory type thing. You know what I'm saying? And in this one, like when they fight in Egypt or in like right near the pyramids.
That was sick. It's really cool. Sick. Yeah. Badass.
Like the combos, Godzilla like doing like the kick and the
he suplexed him. Godzilla suplexed him.
Boom.
That was crazy. It was bad. When that happened, when the suplex happened, I was like, okay, this is what this movie is. Godzilla just suplexed Kong. Let's not take it very seriously.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's like WWE.
The latest entry, let's do a little plot here.
Yeah, okay. What's the background of this film, James?
Follows up the explosive showdown of a Godzilla vs. Kong with an all-new cinematic adventure pitting the mighty Kong and the fearsome Godzilla against a colossal, undiscovered threat who Anthony called Ancient Godzilla hidden within in our world and Scar King hidden within our world challenging their very existence and our own. The epic new film will delve further into the histories of these titans, their origins, and the mysteries of Skull Island and beyond, while uncovering the mythic battle that helped forge these extraordinary beings and tied them to humankind forever. Again, directed by Adam Wingard. Rebecca Hall comes back as Dr. Eileen Andrews, who is a monarch anthropological linguist. Brian T. Henry is back as Bernie Haynes, who runs the Titan Truth podcast, which is hysterical because we're on a podcast
right
now. I
felt attacked in this film.
Yeah. We're not crazy.
All right. Kaylee Huddle Gia is back as Gia, who is now Eileen's adoptive daughter, the last survivor of the Iwi tribe. And then we have Dan Stevens, who comes into play as Trapper, a new character, but a regular in Wingard's films. He's so good in The Guest. Have you ever seen The Guest?
I've never seen The Guest.
You've got to watch it.
I got to watch amazing. The Guest.
You like horror films?
You know what? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch them a lot, but I feel like that's something that I could easily get into, like, a lot more.
It's a non-traditional horror film. It's not like a scares horror film. It's just like a crazy horror film.
It's camp, but it also has like a very 80s vibe, which Wingard brings to these films, obviously. Mm-hmm. This movie has a banging soundtrack, lots of 80s. We got a lot of synths, so I think that's one of my favorite parts of the movie.
I saw you bobbing your head.
I was having a good time at this movie.
Exactly,
This movie was a great time. I was bobbing my head during this movie.
you were feeling it, man.
Yeah,
like you stood up and started dancing.
I saw that.
Yeah, I had to pull you down.
You're like, hey.
We're at IMAX, man. We're at IMAX. Now, again, like I said, this is the fifth film in the MonsterVerse. First, we had Godzilla back in 2014, which starred several superheroes, including Aaron Taylor Johnson and Scarlet Witch.
Cranston as well.
Ken Watanabe, Kong Skull Island in 2017. Then we had Godzilla King of the Monsters in 2019, Godzilla vs. Kong back in 2021. And again, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire just came out, and it's expected to be a huge hit because all the other ones are very successful films. The first film in 2014, Godzilla made $530 million at the box office. Kong Skull Island is the most profitable. It pulled $568 million at the box office. Godzilla King of the Monsters was the lowest performer, $387 million. Then Godzilla vs. Kong was $470 million at the box office. So this is obviously going to be a hit, and this is at a budget of upwards of $200 million.
Ooh, big movie. I expected to do $500 million, maybe more if it's good word of mouth, but I bet it'll hit Godzilla vs. Kong numbers. I expect an opening weekend of about $50 million, I would say, domestically.
Probably.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it always performs more well international. Domestically, they all pull in $200 at max, like usually under there, so I expected to pull over $300 million internationally, I think.
There's something I missed.
What?
And that was Ken Watanabe.
Yeah.
Just one of the best actors alive, and he's been in several of these films, and he wasn't in this film.
I brought him up earlier, bro.
He was sorely missed for me as
well. He's been around in a bit.
He wasn't in Godzilla vs. Kong?
No.
My bad.
He hasn't been around since Kong Skull Island, right?
King of the Monsters, right?
Was he in King of the Monsters?
No.
I don't think so. He's only in the first two, I believe.
Oh, shit.
Wait, no. Yeah.
Yeah, the first, that's it, just the first two, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because then they replace him with other people because there's always mad scientists coming in and changing it up. Because now it's like a different division because then Kong Skull Island, that's the one where Skarsgård's...
Skarsgård's
the last
No.
We have Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston, yeah.
And then Skarsgård comes in for Godzilla versus Kong, correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. There's a lot of characters.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of movies.
So it was Aitza Gonzalez and Skarsgård in the last film. And I like their characters, but I was like, they don't really feel like they work with what's going on.
Really?
Yeah. So
they're giant monsters and titans, so I think it's fine.
I'm just saying, there's a reason why
you're looking too much for character development in these movies.
I'm just saying, I like less characters. I like Brian Tyree Henry. I think he had so much great energy, and he was really personable in this film, and hit that comedy that we needed.
And
then Dan Stevens coming into this, being like that cowboy, like just having so much fun,
cowboy dentist.
Charming, cowboy dentist.
Yeah.
He was King Schultz basically.
Oh yeah,
but a modern day one. And he was just a lot of fun, and he bounced really well off of Rebecca Hall's character, who's been a very good lead for the last couple.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And we got a bunch of titans in this movie. I can't remember some of the names of a few because we just saw this on March 12th, was it? Something like that, a week ago.
Something
and
like that.
It came out on March 29th. This episode's posting on April Fool's Day, actually. So
it's a real episode.
We're just going off memory from when we saw it a week ago because there's no information about it online. And we're under embargo, so we can't even talk about this film.
We're
legally.
Recording it illegally. Yeah, we haven't posted it, though.
No, we're not. Yeah.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean we can't talk about it.
Exactly.
Exactly. But the main antagonist of this film is the Scar King, who is this new massive ape, because in the film, Kong, he's in Hollow Earth. He's trying to find other giant apes, other apes. He's trying to find his family or people like him or apes like him. He's lost. He's a lone survivor, really.
Mm-hmm.
And he discovers Scar King in this tribe. And Scar King is as strong as Kong, except more agile and athletic. He's a huge threat. He's a gigantic primate-based creature with an appearance quite similar to that of Kong, except with the more of a chimpanzee head and slender, muscular body and more of an orangutan-like physique with lengthy arms and legs. He also has a different weapon than Kong. He uses this weapon called a whiplash, which is a spinal column of another titan we assume he killed. Mm-hmm. And he also, at the tip of it, has a blue crystalline blade that's used to control with pain an ancient titan, the ancient Godzilla. Shimo Pain, who is now... a new titan introduced in this film. Shimo, the word in Japanese, means cold or frost or white. Shimo's a reptilian kaiju somewhat similar to Godzilla, but with white scales, blue dorsal plates, and horns. I love the design of Shimo. Looks terrific. And their awesome attack is basically just like ice beam, ice breath. And it's said in the film that Shimo caused the last ice age.
Mm-hmm.
The visual effects in the film is really impressive.
Really?
I thought everything looked very good, and especially Shimo and the Scar King. I think because they got a little more colorful, a little more out there, and it worked. And I think that CGI did a very good job with the CGI. I thought it was believable most of the time. And I really enjoyed the Scar King. I loved his weapon, and I loved the crystal dagger that he uses to control Shimo.
Yeah.
What I love more is that we didn't get the backstory of how he got that, what it does exactly.
I know what it is, though.
What is it? Can you explain?
Yeah, that whip. Okay, so the whip. I'm not saying that this is confirmed or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure the whip is a Warbat skeleton with the rings whipped off, with the wings ripped off. So you remember in Godzilla versus Kong, where Kong just entered Hollow Earth, and then he fought those two snake creatures?
Yeah.
It's one of those, except for just skinned.
Oh, okay.
Just like the whip.
Nice.
And then he just took one of Shimo's like ice thingies and then probably put it at the end to control her.
Okay, see, I didn't think we needed that, and they didn't put it in. Mm-hmm. There wasn't backstory of like, what exactly is this and how does it control Shimo?
It seemed like it's one of her dorsal plates.
Yeah. And we didn't need to know. All we needed to know is that it does work. And they showed that the Scar King, once they opened up the cavern under the lava to reveal Shimo, and then he started controlling her. That's all we need to know. We don't need to know the backstory of how he did it, how he learned to use it, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
We just, I was like, it was really, really refreshing to not get that backstory to distract us. And we understand it works, what it does. Let's move on. And it was really smart.
It's straight to the point. Every single thing that happened in the movie is straight to the point. Yeah. They don't skip a beat at all.
Simple. Simple.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
I really like Zuko in this film too. And Zuko is super cute. Zuko is a juvenile primate-based creature with general appearance to that of Kong, however, with more reddish hair like Scar King has, and basically like a kid, like a teenager.
A murderous kid.
Yeah, murderous yes. kid. But I thought Zuko was a great like breath of fresh air, a lot of brevity, a lot of comedy. Sort of Kong becomes a father figure to Zuko because you can assume under Scar King's rule, no one feels like that Scar King is a positive force in their life, but Kong eventually becomes for Zuko.
Yeah, and you know, I figured out Zuko has like 10 or 15 brothers and sisters, because I asked Adam in, when we got outside of the war room or whatever, if Zuko is Scar King's son. He's like, well, what do you think? And I'm like, well, I guess it makes sense because they do look exactly the same. And I'm all like, and he's like, did you notice that there was a lot of other, you know, baby Zukos or whatever around? I'm like, yeah. He's like, so just put into your head what Scar King was doing this entire time. And I'm all like, wow, so he just had babies with every single, you know, other Titan down there, and now they're just like a little army of tiny Zukos walking around down there. It's kind of crazy.
I noticed in Scar King's like throne room, there were a couple of female apes that were clearly like his women.
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
That's what I'm guessing. I connect those together. Those are the kids.
Yeah, just his alpha of the tribe, yeah. And just taking everything for what he wants, and just kind of represents the worst of what humanity could be. Whereas Kong is a much more positive sense of what humanity can be. I think that was purposefully done right there.
I love the Scar King's posturing. I love the performance. It just reminded me of the villain from the last Planet of the Apes film.
Koba.
Had those vibes. Koba. And he was just like a badass, but also like deranged and unhinged and such an aggressor. Mm-hmm. And I thought that just the performance of the character of the Scar King was really great and something we hadn't seen. They put a lot of personality into the character that we hadn't seen in any of these films, I think, from the other Titans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. By far. This is probably the most character-driven enemy that we've had. I mean, compared to Mechagodzilla, because I don't know if you guys knew this either, Mechagodzilla is the soul of King Ghidorah.
Yeah,
that's why he was their soul
inside, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, from the skull, yeah.
Because it's supposed to be, I can't remember the guy's name who developed it, who's controlling it, but after he gets fried, that Titan takes over the body of Mechagodzilla.
Right. Serizaka-san, yeah.
I always remember the Mechagodzilla in Stealth Park.
I never saw that. What was it?
It was so funny.
It's ridiculous.
I can't remember what they put together, but they put together like a bunch of random stuff to make a Mechagodzilla to fight like a Mothra-type villain, robot villain in Stealth Park.
Oh,
that was an early days episode.
Back in the day.
It was really funny. Like, you would love it.
Yeah. I would.
Google it, yeah.
I have to Google that.
It's a funny ass episode. Send it to you. It's insane.
Well, speaking of Mothra, Mothra's in this movie as well. Just like in the last film, she's given her name Mothra, obviously because she resembles a giant moth, and she's a very powerful titan. And in this movie, Gia, who's the last surviving Iwi girl until they discover an Iwi tribe inside Hollow Earth, she is basically a prophesied tribe member who's supposed to come back to Hollow Earth and awaken Mothra to save the day, basically, which is really cool. Just to have this great character from the last film is now like the savior of Hollow Earth.
Yes. But yes.
We got a lot of backstory where we learned that the Iwi people lived with the massive apes, and the giant apes protected the Iwi people, who also protected Hollow Earth. So they worked together sort of as dual communities, just protecting everything.
I really like the culture they built, and the Iwi culture and the temples and the architecture and the community that was there. I liked that. I thought it was really interesting, and it had like Ghostbusters vibes with that huge temple at the end of Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
It reminded me of that, their temple, and then the crystalline interior, but I just was getting heavy Ghostbuster vibes from that temple area.
I was getting Zelda vibes.
Zelda vibes, Zelda. Yeah. Never-ending story vibes.
Yeah.
I think it was really cool. Because Adam Wingard, the director, he actually walked us through, we mentioned the war room earlier.
Yeah.
There's this room at IMAX where they decorated the entire interior with concept art, props, as well as visual effects footage of the CGI work that they were doing. And he walked us through step by step. They had a whole mood board, which is like an inspiration board. And he drew from a lot of comic books and graphic novels and just really fun retro artwork and very colorful retro artwork to build a lot of the sets and sequences in this film. And I thought it was just really interesting to see that. It was so cool to get taken behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
I snapped a photo and I got in trouble, but they were like, no photos. I was like, shit, no one said.
A couple people were filming, but I guess they worked for Legendary.
Yeah, Legendary.
Yeah.
But I didn't know we couldn't take photos, but I got caught immediately. And I stopped you from taking one. I was like, no photos. But they're very nice about it. I just deleted it and obviously didn't share it. But it was so cool to see behind the scenes and to see like all the details and the prop work.
And it's film is so interesting because on the screen and in the camera, things look so realistic.
Right.
But oftentimes things are shells, where exteriors are shells. Buildings would be the just facades or what we see, and it's really empty on the inside. And there were a couple of books on the table, and they had just covers that were printed to make them look wrinkled and stuff. But the inside was just brand new books. But on camera, it looks like they're old books shot from the right angle. So it's always fun to see behind the curtain and to see props up close and see that difference. And it was just so cool to see behind the scenes. But I think that the artwork and concept art was really cool. And he drew from interesting ideas to put into this film.
I think my favorite part of the war room was where we learned that Godzilla was influenced by his cat.
Oh, my God.
Director Adam Wingard's cat. They based a lot of the movements and some of the sleeping off Godzilla on his cat.
Sleeping in the Colosseum.
Sleeping in the Colosseum in Roma was basically a reflection of his cat sleeping in like a bed or something like that. So I love how he drew from his own
curled
life.
Up.
Yeah, it looked like a cat too. It did a great job.
It was very cute. I'm not gonna lie. Godzilla sleeping like that was like it's really cute. I don't know. I've never seen that before for Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
It makes sense.
He talked about how Godzilla Minus One, the director, based Godzilla's aesthetic and look off of a cat. But when I watched the movie, I talked about it in our episode on Godzilla Minus One that he looked like a dog to me. But now I think about it, he did look like a cat.
With the tail, it makes sense. Yeah.
With the chin and in the face, because we have a cat as well, and cats have that like that fuzzy chin that's like rounded. And then when I think of Godzilla Minus One, that Godzilla design kind of does look like a cat now, yeah, which is really great.
He also has a soul patch.
Cat.
No, I'm just kidding.
Your cat? Okay.
No, but those were my favorite shots. They did it twice where Godzilla's just taking a nap inside the Colosseum.
In Minus One, he looked very cute chasing the boat.
Yeah,
he looked very cute.
He's looking just like chasing a little toy or something like that.
Someone put a meme of a puppy on his head and it looked great.
That's what I mean. It looked like a dog.
He wants to play, dude. He just wants to play.
Now, Godzilla goes through some cool changes in this film. We obviously have a new color because Godzilla, we find out in the film, charges up. Now, he goes and starts going on a radiation bender. He's just like, he's just getting messed up.
He's got a problem.
He can't stop getting that radiation because he knows he has to charge up for something big because Godzilla can always sense like Kong nearby or whatever.
Any other Titans,
And so he's charging up to face this threat that's in Hollow Earth. And so he goes to a couple radiation facilities to get some radiation, but then he attacks a Titan somewhere underneath, I think it was Antarctica or the North Pole.
Tiamat,
the Titan Tiamat, just goes into her domain and just messes her up and then
fucks her up
inside of her.
He ripped her up.
I was just watching Netflix, bro. Tiamat's just chilling by herself.
Not
like,
bothering
oh
anyone.
Mizzou just broke into her house and just killed her for no reason, at all.
I felt bad for Tiamat.
Yeah. Like, she murked her.
She was defending her home.
she was just chilling by herself. She didn't hurt any humans.
My goodness, Tiamat, poor girl. But anyways, Godzilla gets in, charges up, and
it gets yassified.
I heard about that.
Queenzilla.
He's slaying, bro. He's slaying.
Takes on the pink power and radiation of Tiamat and charges up for the whole film. But I love the shot of Godzilla in ice breaking through it when he's ready to go.
That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And a lot of this film was shot in IMAX.
The whole movie was.
Yeah, IMAX film cameras were used a few times. One of the best shots in the film was in that Arctic location, the just helicopter shot pushing in towards the glacier.
Yeah.
That was just... It was massive,
amazing.
And it filled the screen from top to bottom. It was just so stunning to behold. And this whole film was shot on film.
Yeah.
I noticed that immediately. We were talking about afterwards how beautiful it looked, the grain.
Yes.
And so many of these big blockbusters are shot digitally, and sometimes it's too clean.
Yeah.
And also CGI, I think, works better with the grain of film because it blends in, whereas sometimes it can be too clean and you can really stick out like a sore thumb, especially when you have actors performing in front of a green screen with CGI. But when everything has that layer of grain over it, so you have the actors and then they also project the CGI animation on film too, it adds a blending of the images and it makes the CGI more believable, in my opinion.
Yeah, it just feels more warm and nostalgic when I see grain. It reminds me of an old 70s film or so, or even an 80s film.
Exactly.
It makes my heart all warm. Like, oh, grain. That's
like
cool.
You just know it. You can feel it.
Yeah.
When you watch film.
It just feels nostalgic, and 2 minutes into the film, you're just like, it looks better too.
Yeah, it does.
It looks so much better.
It just works.
Yeah. I was like, oh shit, he shot this on film.
Yeah.
He's not messing around.
First MonsterVerse movie to be shot entirely in IMAX's 1:91 aspect ratio.
Wow.
So it's the first one shot completely for IMAX.
Wow.
And it was an awesome presentation. We got to go to IMAX headquarters to watch it. Was it your first time there?
Yes.
It's a pretty cool.
That was my first time ever being invited to like a, you know, pre-premiere type thing or like a screening, more like to see those things, and the first time ever meeting a director of a film that I loved so much. So that was like crazy, especially when we first got there and stuff like that. We were trying to be as professional as possible, just walking up acting like not human, just being like, hello, yes.
You gotta act like you've
meanwhile,
been there.
Meanwhile, James and I are mowing down prosciutto and wine.
Yeah. We're very lucky. It was a good spread.
It was a great spread.
We're very fortunate because we get to go there pretty often. Pretty much any movie that comes on IMAX, we get to go there. We've been going to IMAX HQ since 2021. The first film we saw there was Reminiscence from Warner Brothers, but we pretty much see every big movie that comes out on IMAX. We get to go there early. See.
That is amazing.
So, yeah, it's really cool experience because it's the best theater. A couple weeks ago, we got to host a private screening for Dune Part 2 there, which was awesome.
No way.
Yeah, we got to bring like 60 insane. Fans and a bunch of friends. So it was a really cool experience. So we love IMAX. People think IMAX pays us. They don't. We hype up IMAX all the time.
We've been going to IMAX since we were kids. Yeah. We saw 300 in IMAX when we were kids.
Man of Steel.
We saw a bunch of old films. Oh my God, they're old now. In IMAX. Spider-Man 3 we saw in IMAX. You know, we've been fans of IMAX and the brand since we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just a brand that, like, we're happy to collaborate with. And it's just one of our favorite companies in the film industry.
And Legendary, too. Was 300 a legendary movie?
Legendary, yeah.
Yeah, Legendary's what? Made a,
it was legendary?
Yeah, a bunch of great movies. They've also made The Town.
Did they really?
They made The Town. Fuck yeah, Legendary. But we love working with Legendary. This is our first time, like, actually meeting them in person, too. So we love their films. They make a bunch of great Warner Brothers productions. They made a bunch of Chris Nolan movies, too. So Legendary is an awesome production studio.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm loving Legendary right now.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
They're killing it.
They are killing it. They have for a while. But how about we take a break, guys, and head to our intermission.
Yes.
We'll do some fun trivia games, and then we'll get back to our episode on Godzilla X Kong, the New Empire. But before we continue, the best way to support Raiders of the Lost Podcast is to sign up for Patreon at patreon.com/Raiders of the Lost Podcast. Why would someone want to sign up for Patreon?
I don't know.
Because you get awesome perks like private messages, video messages. You get access to our Discord, which is an incredible film community. We have watch parties on there every couple of weeks. We get you access to free merchandise as well. Tons of great goodies if you sign up for Patreon at patreon.com/Raiders of the Lost Podcast. Another great way to support the show is leave those 5-star ratings and reviews on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Cool tidbit about this. At 5,000 Apple ratings, I'm going to get a tattoo of whatever Anthony decides on my body.
All right.
So hopefully it's
more
cool.
Ratings, please.
Hopefully it's something cool. So leave those ratings on Spotify and Apple. I'll read one out in just a minute because they're always so fun and heartwarming and hilarious. And also another great way to support the show is just share us. Word of mouth is the best way for a podcast to grow. So tell everybody about the show. Send us to everyone in your contacts. Tell grandma about our show. If you have any movie fans, any MonsterVerse friends, send them this episode. And thanks for tuning in.
This episode, of course, is sponsored by our friends at MoviePosters.com, the number one place to get your posters online today. Be sure to use our promo code Raiders10 at MoviePosters.com to get 10% off your order right now. They have a huge selection of pretty much every movie and TV show imaginable in their poster library. Any MonsterVerse fans, get your posters over at MoviePosters.com. They also have sizes, framing, and even backlighting for any of your poster needs. So go to that website. Use our promo code Raiders10 and get 10% off your order right now.
All right. Let's get into our intermission.
Let's do it.
And the first thing we're going to do is a movie quote competition.
Ooh. Okay.
Everyone is prepared to try to stump each other. I'll go first, and we'll see if you guys can guess what film this is from. Okay, here we go. This is a couple characters talking, so it's more than one quote. I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure. Fucking A. Hold on 1 second. This installation has a significant dollar value attached to it. They can bill me. Any guesses?
Yeah, I have a guess. Do you want to go first?
No, I have nothing.
This is Aliens.
It is Aliens.
No, yeah. I didn't know it was Aliens.
They can bill me.
Fucking A.
Fucking A.
Because Bill Paxton says, I say we take
I
off.
I say we take off, nuke, man.
The entire site from orbit.
Game over, man.
Game over, man. Game over. Oh my God. I
love that movie.
All right, who wants to go next?
I'll go next. This is one person talking. He's all wrong for us, baby. I saw you beat that man like I saw no man get beat before, and the man kept coming after you. No, we don't need no man like that in our lives.
What? Can you do that one more time? Because you started doing an accent halfway through.
He has a raspy voice. Hold on.
Okay.
He's all wrong for us, baby. I saw you beat that man like I never saw no man get beat before, and the man kept coming after you. No, we don't need no man like that in our lives.
This has got to be a Rocky movie.
I was going to say Rocky 2.
Which Rocky?
Rocky 2 is correct.
Yeah.
It's Duke.
Okay.
It's Duke warning Apollo about rematching with Rocky.
Yeah, his coach. Yeah,
I was scared.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if that's true, but that's it.
That's a good quote.
It's a good one, right?
I fucking love Rocky, man.
I just watched Rocky 4 last night. It's fucking awesome.
Is it good?
It's, dude, oh my God. It's so good.
I've never seen it.
Have you seen the other Rockies?
No.
You never seen any Rocky?
I have not seen any of the Rocky movies. I was a lucky guest saying Rocky 2.
Wow. You gotta.
What are you doing this weekend, man?
Let's watch the Rocky movie.
Dude, they're all 90 minutes.
They're amazing.
Really?
The first film won Best Picture.
Really?
That's how good it is.
They're amazing movies.
And then they're just, the first four are fantastic.
And Creed is part of it. Creed is obviously like the,
Apollo Creed is like the most badass boxer ever.
Yeah.
He's the main antagonist.
Creed is the son of Apollo Creed.
Okay.
In the Rocky movies, Adonis played Creed. By Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
And Apollo Creed is just one of the best characters ever.
Oh
my God. So cool. Watch them. They're all on Max.
Okay.
Yeah, highly recommend them.
I'm going to watch those now because now I feel like I'm missing
They're
out
all short.
So much.
They're all
dude.
Short. Yeah.
I could do it.
We have the DVD set somewhere if you want to borrow it.
Dude, I'd be more than excited to borrow those. Yeah.
We have the Blu-ray set
Help
somewhere.
Yourself. Yeah, we'll look for it. Oh, yeah, the box set's right there behind Godzilla.
Oh, yeah,
it's right behind Scar King.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it behind Scar King? Is it behind Scar King?
Yeah, man, feel free to take it if you want. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I have one. I have one.
Go for it.
Okay. Oh man, mine are so like generic now compared to your guys'. I'll probably like say one myself too. Okay. Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether they could, they never stopped to think if they should.
Jurassic Park.
I knew it. I was like, that's gonna be way too obvious.
Yeah, Dr. Ian, I forgot to tell you that, like, really try to stump us because we're pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've seen a few movies.
Okay, how about this one? This one's a little bit shorter. Ready? Good form, Peter. Good form.
Good form, Peter.
Is that Hunger Games?
Nope.
Is it Peter or Peter that you're saying?
Peter.
Okay. Peter.
But he says Peter.
Good form, Peter. Good form. Who's Peter? Oh, it's Captain Hook. It's Hook.
Okay.
It's Dustin Hoffman is Hook.
Nice. Yes.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. All right.
That nice one, dude. That was a good one. That was a good Dustin impression. Yeah. That's why I got it. That's why I got it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Guess this movie release year. What year did Cloverfield come out?
2008.
I'm going to go 2010.
2008 is correct.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
We have a winner.
Oh, my
nice
God.
Job. We have a winner. Okay.
Remember that trailer?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
That was a sick movie.
That was a great trailer. Nobody knew what the fuck it was.
Kind of scared the hell out of me, not going to lie.
Wild.
Yeah.
All right. Guess this movie release year. What year did Rocky IV come out?
1984.
Oh, man. 1987.
85.
Oof, close.
So
Marquez
close.
Was closer. He wins.
So
you
close.
Lose. You fucking loser. He hasn't even seen them, man.
I was like,
he hasn't even seen them. He hasn't even seen them.
He was like, you better know this.
I feel like Tia Tam just chilling and getting attacked out of nowhere.
It's Tia Man.
Tia Man, whatever.
Giving me shit earlier. Tia Tam. Who the hell is Tia Tam?
Ancient Snake.
Yeah, Tia Man. Tia Man.
Acted like an expert earlier. Got you.
Got him.
Got him. You suspect. You suspect.
What about you mustn't read from the book?
That's Evil Dead.
Nope.
Oh, another quote. You mustn't read from the book.
No, you mustn't read from the book.
Oh, it's Last Crusade.
No.
No, oh, it's
Oh, it's Mummy.
Yes!
Yes, you got it. Yeah.
You must not read from the book.
You mustn't read from the book.
Yes. It was pretty dumb, Rachel Weisz. It was pretty dumb.
The Book of the Dead. Just couldn't help herself.
We just read it out loud.
Yeah, dude.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
All right. Do you have a movie for a movie release here or nah?
Let me think.
No worries if not. I like the quote.
Okay, when did The Lost World of Jurassic Park come out? What year?
95?
2003?
The Lost World, Jim.
Oh, The Lost World. Oh, I don't know. 1998?
Yes. 98? Yes, you got it. That was so good.
You said 2003 first, so it was not so good.
Okay, yeah.
I remember
he said 2003.
But did I get
You were thinking
it?
Of Jurassic Park 3, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I was thinking about Jurassic Park 3.
You were.
Yes, I was, because that came out in 2003. You can look it up.
I know, I'm sure it did, but that's not what you were thinking of.
I was thinking of that. Exactly.
You're like, I
Thank
swear,
you.
That's what
Shut
I'm thinking
Shut the fuck up. I have
Get out of here, William
H.
Macy.
I have one friend on this show. It's not you.
Oh, my God. So what's happening right now?
All right. Movie pop quiz time. Guys, what year did Mothra first appear in cinema?
1968.
I'm going to go with 1966.
1961.
Oh,
Mothra appeared in Mothra, her own movie.
Origins.
She did all of her own stunts.
Really? Wow. I thought so.
Tom Cruise who?
Just see Martha running like...
Of course a woman did it and was erased from history.
Of course, right? Of course. No one wants to talk about that though, right?
Justice for Mothra.
Just for Mothra. She gets her justice in this movie.
It's a great, it's just like a, it looks like a paper mache moth just in the air.
Yeah, sure it was. I'm sure
it was like...
Definitely.
Okay, my quiz question is, how many screenplays has Sylvester Stallone written?
Let's see. Rocky, Rocky 2, Rocky 4.
He also First wrote Rocky Blood. One.
Oh yeah, you that's what I said. Rocky, I said Rocky, but I don't think he wrote the third one, right?
He wrote them all.
Did you write all four? Yeah. Thanks for the hint. So we got four Rockies. He might have wrote Rocky V, maybe. I don't know. He's definitely wrote First Blood. Definitely wrote another one of the Rambos. The Expendables, Expendables 2, Expendables 3. Probably Expendables 4.
Oh my lord.
What's the one where he with the knife, what's it called? Fucking
Cobra, bro.
Cobra 11.
Wow.
You gotta watch Cobra.
It's so cheesy.
We gotta put you on all of Stallone's movies.
We have to, yeah.
I'm just gonna say 12.
Guess?
I had no idea this man wrote.
He actually directed a lot of movies. Yeah, he's directed 8 movies. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah, he directed Rocky 2, yeah.
I feel like such a newbie now. Yeah, I mean.
Don't sleep on Sly,
he's a
bro.
Legend, man.
Don't I'm going to go with 13 since he said 12.
So that's just Price is Right rules? This fucking guy.
Sly has written 28 films.
What?
Jesus, 28 yeah. movies?
He wrote Cliffhanger.
That's right, yeah.
He actually made 2 movies between Rocky 1 and 2 that he wrote and starred in. A bunch of movies in the 80s. Everything he's acted in, pretty much he wrote.
That's crazy.
He's written a ton of screenplays.
Yeah, I figured 12 would be low, but I didn't think it was going to be 20.
All of his movies, like a majority of the films he starred in, he wrote.
That's the thing. No one understands how much that guy's written.
Yeah.
Even I didn't.
He also wrote a few films that he did not act in.
But, oh, really?
Yeah. He wrote a Statham movie. Yeah, he wrote another movie with another action star he wrote but didn't act in it.
Damn.
So he's a prolific writer.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah.
This man is.
Jeez. That's how you control your career, man.
It's like the Stephen King of scripts.
Yeah, for real.
He's like behind the scenes doing all the work, dude.
Holy shit.
And he directed Rocky 2, 3, and 4.
Oh,
and
word?
Rocky 5.
Yeah. Did he write Rocky 5?
Rocky Balboa. He wrote all the Rocky movies. Rocky Balboa. He only has a screenwriting editing credit on the Creed film.
The first one?
The first one. And then not involved in the story in the second two, obviously. But yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't even show him in the third one. I like the third Creed. I liked it a lot, but they didn't even show a photo of Rocky.
They shut him out.
They shut him out.
Was the third Creed the best out of all three?
It's debatable.
I'd say the first
one. I really
one.
Enjoyed the Creed 3. Michael B. Jordan, I think, knocked out of the park.
There's no Rocky in it, though.
I know, but still, but it's a really good movie. But the first one is great because Sylvester's awesome. He got Golden Globe win for that movie, an Oscar nomination. Yes. Yeah.
It's the one where Creed really feels like an underdog in the most way.
And Rocky has cancer.
That's
But yeah, and Adrian's dead.
Spoilers.
All them. Oh
it's
my
an old spoiler.
It's,
sorry.
Well, I don't even know who it is yet.
It's in the trailer. The trailer opens up at the tombstone.
That he has cancer.
Yeah, it's in the trailer.
No, that's not in the trailer. That happens halfway through. Spoiler.
He gets hacked.
You're going to take the Men in Black thing. I don't remember. Okay, there we go.
Sorry.
We're good.
Sorry, man. I forgot. Have you not seen the Creed movies?
I haven't.
Oh,
if he hasn't seen the Rocky movies, I doubt he's seen the Creed.
I got to see them in order. I can't watch because my dad was all like, you should watch Creed. And I'm all like, isn't that part of the Rocky movies? Like, yeah, but it's still great. I'm like, I'm gonna start from the beginning first.
Yeah, you should. Beginning.
You should because
it's worth it.
Watching Apollo Creed and then getting into Creed's a lot better versus watching his son because Apollo Creed's the fucking man.
Yes.
It's Carl Weathers in his prime, like just like in Predator. He's so ripped in that movie.
Yeah.
He is shredded.
Dude,
he's a monster in number 4.
Yeah.
He's fucking huge in number 4. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my god, he's a giant.
I love
Carl
Weathers.
He's even bigger.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh man,
he's massive. Just.
Slaw sweat.
Peak men's physique. Lots of close-ups on muscles.
Training montages. Training, fighting. And the fights in Rocky 2 are fucking great. Oh, my God. They're so good.
Oh, man. I want to watch them now. I'm getting fired up just thinking.
Dude.
Yeah. Like, Rocky's like a movie that makes you can run through a wall. Like, no problem.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can run through that door.
Yeah.
Easy.
Rocky said I could do it. I can do it.
I'm going to break a bone, but I'm going to do it.
Rocky.
Or more like Apollo said I could do it, so I could do it, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, Rocky's, he just defines having a heart. And never giving up.
Greatest underdog story ever.
Yeah, greatest underdog.
Absolutely. Who else do we have movie pop quizzes left?
I could try to do one.
Yeah,
okay, let me see if I got one. What was Jeff Goldblum's biggest break?
The Fly?
Invasion. Oh my God! It's like I'm not even. I don't even have a chance.
But also, Invasion of the Body Snatchers right before it.
True.
Opened him up.
Yeah, he's got a good support.
But The Fly was his first big breakout as a good actor. Yeah. So yeah. I'd give it to The Fly.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I would say The Fly too. Yeah. Because they're gonna think Jurassic Park because I love Jurassic Park. But you're like, nope, The Fly. I'm like, ah, you guys just know.
You do this for a living, man.
Yeah. You're like, come on now.
I told you we've seen a lot.
I'm like in the MonsterVerse. I step outside the MonsterVerse. I'm like, oh my God, I really don't know that much about the movies, dude. Oh my God.
Fly's great. The Invasion of the Body Snatchers is fantastic too. Yeah. He's great.
It's an awesome alien movie.
He's so young in that one. He's a little baby.
He's just a little baby.
He's a little Jeff Goldblum. Jeffy.
Just a little Jeffy.
Yeah, do we have any haters or unsubscribes in this episode?
We do. We have some good ones.
So we like to read off hater comments, as well as we have a fun thing on the show we do. It's called unsubscribing, because Ethan used to make fun of our haters and be like, they unsubscribe from the show. So now our fans, they'll leave comments and they say unsubscribe, but people don't realize that they're making jokes.
It's like, pretend hate.
Like, this show's ridiculous. How could you make this mistake? Unsubscribe. And people are like, why are you unsubscribing from the show? They're really great.
Yeah.
Like,
so it's just our fans having fun.
Okay, it's just a joke. Okay.
So John wrote on our Poor Things episode, 40-year-old virgin, you guys are turning 34. I thought you guys were like 26. Unsubscribe.
Thanks.
Hope to see you in Boston.
Good jeans.
Sounds like John's going to our live show.
Yes.
The Italian jeans, man. He knows
the Italian jeans.
He also said, thank you for putting me on to Movie 7, which is
Movies.7.
Yeah, which is a streaming site.
They got everything.
You have saved my bank account. Still unsubscribing, though. And then in our Poor Things episode, Jen Mania wrote, if you two fuck this up, so help me God, I will unsubscribe.
And the Poor Things one?
Yeah.
I hope we didn't miss anything up.
I posted a clip about the Batman 2's delay on TikTok, and JK777 wrote, something in the way. Unsubscribed.
That's a pretty good joke.
Unsubscribe.
That's a good joke.
Mikkel Jackal wrote, my dumbass thought intermission timestamp 44 minutes was a great hidden gem film I never heard of.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
That's it for this week.
That's funny. All right. We have a great 5-star review from Beth Edwards. She wrote, two guys who love to nerd out. This is one of the most digestible film podcasts that makes it easy for even the most casual movie fan to follow along without any of the pretentiousness or I'm smarter than you talk that you typically find listening to Film Bros.
Oh, wow.
That's why we started the show. We hated those pretentious shows that had never made a movie before in their lives, and they're so critical of movies like Gladiator. How could you shit on Gladiator? I love their takes and how genuine their passion for film and TV comes across each episode. Have found many new favorites from their recs and in-depth analysis. I've been listening religiously since 2021. Wow, Beth.
Thanks, Beth.
But I gotta be honest, I still can't tell Anthony and James apart, so for that reason, I must unsubscribe.
Oh my God.
Maybe one day, Beth. Maybe one day.
Sometimes I can't.
Oh my God.
Thank you so much for the 5-star review, Beth. I really appreciate it.
In our last episode, we were both wearing glasses and hats, and I was a little more clean shaven than usual, and even my girlfriend couldn't really tell. She was like, which one's which? Still having that problem.
Twinning. All right.
Twinning.
Does anyone have a streaming recommendation?
Yes.
For the fans and listeners?
To no surprise to anyone, the Rocky franchise is on Max.
That's fair. Yeah.
Watch it. Mine's going to be The Witch, which is also on Max.
Nice.
A great horror movie. Robert Eggers' first film. If you've never seen it, it's a great story about kind of like the origins of a witch. It's awesome. Really good.
Mine would be... Okay, I don't want to mess this up. The Haunting or The Haunting on Hill House?
Yeah, yeah.
I watched that one a while ago. I'm not really big on streaming or whatever, a bunch of movies or whatever like that. So, or at least new ones that I've gotten into. I just recently started actually giving more films a chance because I was so like, oh no, it has to be like a monster movie or whatever like that. But, or not even just like MonsterVerse, just like Jaws, E.T. or something like that. So I have to say A Haunting on Hill House is really nice. And Breaking Bad is probably my favorite show of all time.
Did you just watch it recently?
This is like my third time going through the entire show. Nice. Like, okay.
Magnets!
Magnets.
All of this. It's all about me. That's like the best new video meme is everything. This is all about me. I saw one recently of guys when they go see Dune Part 2. Everything. This is all about me.
Yep. Facts. But yeah, we're happy to put you on to the Rocky franchise.
Yes.
Please
as
borrow
well
them
as many others.
Kids, man. Borrow
as well
them.
As many others.
Absolutely.
We've seen so many
and
times.
And the guest from Adam Wingard who directed.
The guest.
You would like it. It's very cool. It's awesome.
Fantastic.
It's really, really fantastic. Good. But let's get back into our episode on Godzilla X Kong. Everybody here with Marquez from Wade Willie TV on YouTube and TikTok. Check him out. He covers the MonsterVerse extensively.
So what did you guys think about the visual effects and CGI of this film?
exceptional. Yeah. Some of the best we've seen in the year. Yeah. They did a really great job. Yeah. I mean, especially with so many massive movies have so many visual effects going on, especially of Marvel, DC, and Star Wars lately. This is like top tier. Like they really put their work in for this film, I think.
Yeah, I think it looked fantastic.
Especially since most of the movie was CGI. That's kind of crazy impressive. Because that means that, like, first of all, it's going to be super expensive to do something like that, too. And the time to put in for something like that, for a movie that's even just, like, an hour and 50 minutes of just straight CGI monster action the entire time, they really gave us what we wanted on this one.
Yeah, I mean, everything in Hollow Earth is just all CGI, and I was never really pulled out of the immersive experience of the film. I was just totally in it. And a lot of the close-ups, especially of Kong, and some of the other characters, they looked really fantastic and photorealistic. They did a great job.
I liked how much time we spent in Hollow Earth, too. A lot of the human stuff, we were on ships or interiors, but we were in Hollow Earth for quite a bit of this movie.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, a whole Hollow Earth film would be fucking sick.
It would be amazing.
Yeah.
And it was cool to discover the Iwi people that are protectors of Hollow Earth, and they're protected by the Kong and the giant apes in their past, and how, basically, Scar King, his goal in this film is to escape Hollow Earth and try to take over the surface world.
Right.
Just kind of a pretty solid, typical take over the entire world plot for a villain. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really interesting. He's trying to find a way to get through one of those tunnels and one of those, I guess what you'd call
doorways.
Portals.
Like a portal. Yeah, portal to get to the surface world. And the Iwi people are trying to stop him by stopping him from reaching those portals up in the sky. And I like the gravity effects for when those two pyramids are about to touch to prevent him from doing it. I thought it was really cool.
There was also, just like in every other film of 2023, we were in Italy.
Yeah. Every movie's in
Italy. Every movie's in Italy.
We talk about it all the time.
Every fucking movie.
Yeah. Roma.
They must have a great tax credit when you shoot there.
Oh my God.
Seriously.
Yes.
For real. But so I did like Godzilla sleeping in the Colosseum and making like a cat bed out of it.
Yeah. He went right back at the end of the movie. I'm like, oh my God. He went right back to the place.
He can't resist the pasta, man.
You just can't
that
resist
that pasta.
I mean, you can't be doing your tours of the Colosseum anymore.
Literally. I mean, you can. It'd just be...
You might die. You might die.
Yeah. Probably
will die.
But also, it's so well built that it's still standing.
Yeah. You so kind of just step over it instead of just, you know, destroying it.
Yeah. There's actually no adhesive used in the Colosseum.
Yeah.
Not one ounce of adhesive at all.
No.
It's all put together piece by piece without
cement.
Yeah. No, it's just brick by brick, and it's just all, you know,
balanced
and just like pressure.
Oh, wow. Oh,
they invented cement, the Romans.
There's no adhesive in the Colosseum.
Is there no adhesive? There's no cement?
No.
I need to go see this.
But they did use poles.
They used poles, but they... So what the archways are... Like, so what they do is they stack them up brick by brick on each side.
Yeah.
And then they get to that final one in the center, and the pressure holds them all in place.
I thought there was still cement there, because I know the Romans invented cement, but I thought...
No.
That's so scary.
I'm not saying you're not wrong, but I'm saying...
We did the tour.
I know we did the tour.
They said on the tour. They're like, see, there's no adhesive at all.
That's scary. What if it just falls one day?
It won't. It's so perfectly built.
It's just perfectly structured.
They're a lot smarter than we are.
Plus, what you see is just the internals. It's like the skeleton of the Colosseum.
Same as all the aqueducts.
The exterior was removed.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
So, have you ever seen Gladiator?
No.
So, you gotta watch Gladiator.
Gotta watch Gladiator.
That should actually be your first movie to watch.
Gladiator first. Gladiator.
Are you not entertained?
Yes,
exactly. Okay. That should be the first movie you watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then Rocky.
There's some great shots of what the Colosseum would have looked like there.
Oh,
it's really
man.
Cool.
Yeah. Did they actually film anywhere near the Colosseum for Gladiator?
They filmed in the Middle East.
They built one.
Yeah. A lot of movies like that, especially Gladiator 2, they're the same thing. I can't remember what country it is. It's maybe Jordan or somewhere else. But
they shot in Jordan, yeah.
Yeah, just like Dune Part 2 filmed in Jordan.
So the Roman Empire stretched
Budapest
across the Middle East.
Too, yeah.
Yeah, so they actually were pretty accurate with how they depicted ancient Rome, because ancient Rome stretched from the west of Europe to the Middle East and even into parts of Africa.
No, but I mean just for filming purposes.
No, I'm just saying, they capture it really well, whereas so many other movies or TV shows is you're just in Rome.
Oh,
But it's just easier to film. So they built like half the Colosseum in some random desert area. I think it was in Jordan. And visual effects for the rest of it, but it still holds up today. It's awesome.
They had to use this adhesive.
They had to. I'm sure they did.
They had to. They didn't just stack that one.
They were a lot smarter than we were. Anyways, back to Godzilla. He fucked up those bridges too. He just is in and out.
There's a decent amount of carnage in this film. A lot of people died in this movie, which normally
a lot of
innocent,
a lot of building destruction too.
Well, same thing with Godzilla vs. Kong, and especially Boston gets destroyed in the previous films well. But they fucking took out some skyscrapers in this movie.
Yeah.
I think you have to. Show stakes.
But you know what the worst part is? They never actually show the stakes of the people, like, being like, oh my God, like, I left my cat in there or something like that, and then Kong just like backhands the building, and she's like,
they're all dead.
They're all dead.
Yeah, it's like
the Oreo, no.
You know,
Juno.
Like, it's like that Man of Steel effect, where Man of Steel, you see what's happening on Ground Zero, so you feel the stakes, but all these other destructive city moments in other movies, you don't really feel the stakes for the people.
Yeah.
I think it's because they get out of there quickly, whereas Man of Steel, the whole third act is there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in that destructive destroyed city for at least 40 minutes for the last act of that film. Whereas like Pacific Rim, movies like this, they fight, they break some buildings, but then they move into
somewhere
a new area.
Yeah.
So you kind of forget that you just watched a million people get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is like allows the audience to be like move past that.
And they destroyed the hopes of the Red Sox ever winning a home game because they blew up Boston. We're from Boston, so.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
My dad's from Boston.
Oh, no way. What part?
Really? Nice. I have no idea.
You have no idea?
No.
Very good. An Italian from Boston?
An Italian from Boston.
Sounds pretty typical to us.
Yeah.
Sounds like
that's
a cool
the Italian
guy.
One. Yeah.
Sounds like a cool guy.
Was he born there?
Yeah, born in Boston. Or not in Italy. He was born in Boston. Yeah. And then moved to Kansas, then moved to California, now Vegas. He's
very
in Vegas
cool.
Now.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Cool dude.
There's a lot of Italians and a lot of Irish in Boston, so we're half each.
Oh, word?
Yeah, very common breed.
Actually, that makes sense, actually, low-key. I can see it now. I'm all like Italian, you know. Yeah, okay. All right, I see
a little bit of an asshole arrogance to them.
No, no, it's just like, you know, the Italian sense is just walking, you're like, oh, wait, there's something Italian.
They're very loud.
They're loud people.
Very loud. Very loud.
Yes, absolutely.
What do you guys think are the best moments from this movie?
Brother. The one where when he picked up the wart dog above his head and just ripped it and all the blood comes
and
down.
And the great opening.
Oh,
great
yes.
opening. Yeah. So you're talking about Kong's opening of the film where it's just kind of like a silent film for 5 minutes of Kong escaping predators. He set up traps all over his area. So he's very smart and he's hunting and also seeking others of his kind. And he rips apart that monster and just gets covered in its green blood.
Yeah, like an intimidation to play. He's like, like that. That
badass.
Was amazing.
I loved it. And he takes a shower.
He's like, okay. Now that's good.
It's like a day in the life of Kong. He's like, oh, great, another day. He's like exhausted. He's
getting too old for this shit.
What I love about the creature design in this film, specifically with Kong, we have more scars, but also he's got some gray hairs and white hairs. He's like getting older. So it's like this great attention to detail that Wingard put in there.
Very distinguished gentleman.
I asked him if Kong is getting older, like, I asked him, does this mean the gray hair, does this mean that he's like old now and he's just like starting to go downhill type thing? Or is it because he's a silverback gorilla and you know how they get those silver hairs or whatever, the gray hairs? Now he's like his prime or something like that. And Adam said, no, it's just that after a while he has to get to a matured age. So this part of his life is where he's just at his top now. Like he's finally at his peak. Like I'm guessing because even in Godzilla versus Kong, he didn't have all that gray. Like not as much at least. And now he does. So Adam was saying that this is like his peak now. He's like finally fully matured. You know?
Full power Kong.
Full power Kong. Yeah.
He's going Super Saiyan.
Going Super Saiyan.
I love the fight in Egypt with the pyramids and the suplex. And it was just a lot of fun. Yeah. It was very funny too because Kong is trying to get Godzilla to understand that he's trying to bring him down the portal to save the earth. And Godzilla's like, fuck you, bitch. I'm gonna fucking kill you.
He walks right up. Kong's like, wait, hold up, bro. I'm gonna fucking kill you. I'm like, oh shit, he's pink now. Fuck.
He's pink. He's like, Godzilla?
God damn.
Fuck me up.
And there's a point where Godzilla's like, oh fuck. Here we go. So, because it was really fun to watch the suplex destroying the pyramids. It was just really funny, too. I love that moment.
Second film to recently damage the pyramids of Giza.
Which
was Napoleon. He shot a cannon at the pyramids in the
Transformers,
film.
The last Transformers movie. Yeah.
So the pyramids are pretty hot, too.
Yeah.
I think it's smart to use well-known landmarks to show the scale of the Titans to understand just how tall they are.
I always feel bad when they destroy historical landmarks, though. Like, when they were in Rome fucking it up, I'm like, no, be careful.
Be careful.
Godzilla
don't
care.
The poor pyramids, come on.
Yeah.
They don't care, though.
Godzilla does not care. He does not.
But it's a solid plot, this movie, though. I mean, eventually Gia wakes Mothra to save the day to help stop King Scar King and his troops from getting to the portal with the anti-gravity shift, which was pretty awesome. And then the Iwi people, they saved the day as well with the help of Isabel and Trapper. And I like Trapper. He's a lot of fun. Like you said, he's sort of just a cowboy. Mm-hmm. This Australian cowboy. Great accent from Dan Stevens as well. Is he British? I'm not sure.
I believe he's
maybe
Australian.
He's actually, maybe he's
I think
actually,
he's actually
is
Australian.
He actually Australian.
He could be.
Because it was awesome. It's Crocodile Dundee.
He could be British. He wasn't Downton Abbey. He could be either one.
But he does great accents in general. Like, if you when you watch The Guest, you'll see he does a great American accent in that, too. Really? But he's super funny, as well as we have the Beast, which is that mechanical hand that they build, that glove. I guess you could say gauntlet, for lack of a better word.
The thing with this movie is you can't look at it too critically with its writing, because it's just like, we have a problem. How do we solve it? Remember that thing we built?
The convenience Kong gets frostbite on his right hand.
Yeah.
Oh, fortunately, we have the Beast, which stands for the Bioenhanced and Atomic Seismic Thunder Glove. So let's go. We got that out back.
Let me go grab it.
Really quick. I'll go get it.
He's gone for 10 seconds.
I thought he comes back. I thought he was going to go on a journey to find this thing and bring it back, but he's literally there and back in 15 seconds. Then I was like, it's just a movie.
Yeah. It's like he would just pull out his wallet or something like that.
I was like, I don't give a fuck. We're talking about King Kong versus Godzilla. Like, whatever, man. Sure.
If it was his left hand, they'd be fucked.
Oh. He was like, left hand. Ooh, nothing we do about that.
God damn it.
I have the right one.
I got some Vaseline, I guess.
Yeah. I'll put some
some aloe vera.
Yeah, aloe vera.
Yeah, Mothra will shit on it.
her natural essence.
Mothra. I kind of wanted Mothra to be like a Pokemon and just say, Mothra.
Mothra. You know you know what I think that we really missed out on this one? Which I thought that they were going to do with the glove. I thought that they were going to give him the lightning powers, which would be like homage to the original 1962 Godzilla vs. Kong movie, where Kong got struck by lightning and then he had lightning powers and was fighting Godzilla with lightning powers.
No shit.
And I'm thinking maybe with this glove, maybe for the future, maybe the glove, because you saw how it had like blue thunder every time he punched.
Yeah.
What if the glove just like breaks in the next movie or something like that and he gets shot and then...
That'd I think cool. They should do a whole mecha suit, a mecha Kong. Like why
of,
not?
Like Edge of Tomorrow.
Why not?
Really?
Yeah, why not? Why the fuck not, man?
It would take like the animalistic things away from them. You know what I'm saying? Like it would make it too, I don't know, like artificial. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
but it's fucking crazy.
It is crazy, yeah. If they made their own armor, if like the Kongs made their own armor out of like other Titans or something like that, kind of like warriors, mm-hmm. I would slide with that a lot
more.
That's cool,
yeah. That's true.
Because I like when Kong uses his axe as well. I love his axe as a weapon with the dorsal from a previous from Godzilla or another Titan. Yeah.
Dagon, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a cool weapon as well. But what else did you guys like about this movie?
Great.
Yeah, what else did you guys like about this movie?
I loved everything about it. It was really fun. It was cool. I think they did a better job with the human characters, just simplifying it. And I think Rebecca Hall and the young actress who played Gia did a good job
of
showing that family bond that was just kind of just a little forced last time.
I felt that too.
But this time I felt more realistic. I think the actress is a little bit older, so she's definitely better at acting than when she was very little.
And we're talking about Gia, right?
Yeah, Gia.
You know, it's funny. The last movie, Godzilla vs. Kong, was her first movie ever.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was her first movie ever. And Gia's actually, you know, deaf and stuff like that. So she had people working with her. Mm. And she did an amazing job. And in my opinion, for your first movie, being that young too, you did an amazing job in the first movie. And in this movie too, you could tell that she's feeling a lot more comfortable being on set.
Definitely.
And understanding
you can tell.
It. Yeah.
You can tell,
and I like
sure.
how involved the plot made her, especially with the Iwi people and being like this savior for the Earth. So I think that tying her in that way was great, rather than her just being a friend to Kong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have just one question for this movie. I loved it, but there's one thing. So when we're in the inner area where the Scar King has his other apes, right?
The lava pit
and lava pit and everything. What are they building? It's a workers' camp. Obviously, it's supposed to represent a workers' camp.
Yeah.
And they seem to be slaves or indentured servants.
Mm-hmm.
What are they building? I was trying to figure out like why are they taking these boulders away and like
they're just turning big rocks into little blocks. Yeah. Little rocks.
I was trying to figure out like, what are they doing? Were they building an area? Or were they mining it out?
They were trying to get out because like how they said in the movie, Godzilla trapped them by closing one of the most accessible portals to them for them to get out of Hollow Earth. So Godzilla like beamed one of the walls because they were killing Godzilla or whatever. So he beamed the wall, the rocks fell down, and I guess Scar King is making them all take those rocks out of that hole so they can finally go through the portal to get out.
Okay, that answered my question.
Yeah,
that's the one thing I'm like, what are they
doing?
Yeah,
I think they could have done a little bit better job of explaining it for the casual viewer.
I feel like I remember, because I was getting a little confused with that as well as who was trapped specifically down there. Yeah. Okay, now that makes sense.
Probably my favorite part of the film was when he fought Kong and he was like fucking Kong up, but then Kong got back and he was just giving him a little trouble. And then Scar King, he's a character who like definitely is based in fear because he didn't want to keep fighting Kong on his own because he probably had a feeling he would lose.
Yeah.
Then he called out Shimo. And I like how
she's like trapped behind this wall of lava. And then they place the huge boulder down to stop the flow, and then it just revealed her in that pit. That was a really cool moment.
That is amazing. You can even tell when Scar King first like pointed the little dagger at Kong. He's like, kill him. She was fighting back. She was like saying no at first. You see, and he's like, and then she's like, oh, okay, I guess I got to do it, you know? Yeah. So I like that.
Shimo reminded me of the dragon in Deathly Hallows in the Gringotts Bank.
Oh, the pale dragon.
Yeah, the pale dragon with the chains being controlled by pain.
Yeah.
Reminded me just like
that. What?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's actually a direct comparison. Wow, that is actually so true. Yeah.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
Just for a living.
Yeah, dude, you said, like I said, just for a living.
Just missing ice breath, but pretty much the same.
Yeah, pretty close. Pretty the pale skin, you know, the pale skin.
I like the ice breath. That was cool.
Yeah,
that was interesting. That was the coolest power. I think Shimo's my favorite Titan in the movie.
Sparkly, too.
Yeah.
sparkly Shima. Ancient Godzilla.
Ancient Godzilla. And the final battle was great. And then the fight for the dagger.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zuko crushing it with the axe. I was like, fuck yeah.
Zuko's a little badass, dude.
And then they fucked up Scar King.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Fucked him. And then just like, it was just a great kill. Freezing him. And then Kong just body slams him and crushes him to little pieces. It was great.
It was badass.
I thought it was a great kill.
He leaped into the air to do that. I was like, what?
It's like badass.
I wish that ending fight, low-key, was... I wish it was longer, a little bit longer, because... Mm-hmm. And I know they're trying to, like, hurry up and, like, get it done because there's a lot of CGI going on here. But that end fight, I was like, oh, my God. Like, I'm ready for this. And they just whooped him so fast. I'm like, hey, I'm cool with that, too. I wouldn't mind seeing the fight a little bit longer, but, hey, he didn't get the chance, so that's fine with me. Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a good time with this movie, and it was an awesome invite, an awesome experience, and I think that's all we got for Godzilla X Kong, I think. What about you guys?
Yeah, anything else? Absolutely.
I had a really good time with this film. It was it's just a shut your brain off kind of movie. Just sit back and relax and watch a bunch of giant monsters fight each other, and don't think about it too harshly because there's plenty of like plot holes and plot armor, but. Let that go, and it's a blast. Great music, really fun cast, and CGI visual effects are fantastic, and overall, very fun tone. I was surprised.
Yeah.
Had a really good time.
It was awesome.
All right. Do you want to plug your stuff before we head out?
Sure. Wade Willie TV on YouTube, Wade TV on TikTok, and that's actually about it.
And we're posting at the same time on your channel as our channels, and obviously it'll also be on Spotify and Apple Podcasts for your listeners to tune in if they want to check it out there. So we did a little crossover episode with Marquez and his channels. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. Be sure to become a patron of Raiders of the Lost Podcast at patreon.com/Raiders of the Lost Podcast. Leave those 5-star ratings and reviews, and take care.
See you next time.
This episode was executive produced by our chosen one patrons, Cody Moen, Andrew Hagen, Benjamin Cook, Calvin Murphy Griggs, Darian, Tyler McFly,
Mark Nikaj.
Our Chosen One patrons are our biggest supporters. Thank you so much. Thank you for watching Raiders of the Lost Podcast. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, hit the like button as well, notifications for sure. Listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere you can listen to podcasts. And be sure to check out this other content we have on our YouTube channel.